following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. The Kansas City Chiefs go right back to the national center stage, this time for Monday Night Football at historic Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. And it's interesting in this 50th year celebration of the Super Bowl that the first two combatants in the big game will meet in this game. It was the AFL champion Chiefs against the NFL champion Packers to get it all started in Super Bowl I. We have got a great show to get you ready for the Monday Night Football Showdown. First of all, I will talk with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. How about his task? He goes from defending one Hall of Fame quarterback in Peyton Manning to another in future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers. But this time he has to defend Rodgers at Lambeau Field. And you're going to love our feature on Derrick Johnson. He inches closer to the all-time Chiefs tackle record. But we're going to take you all the way back to the alpha point, to his 2005 draft night, and what became the beginning of an amazing Chiefs career for the linebacker. Now, the Chiefs defensive line has got a big task. They've got to try to keep Aaron Rodgers in the pocket and still get pressure on the outstanding Green Bay quarterback, who has not thrown an interception at home since 2012. Of course, a key part of the defensive front is Chiefs Pro Bowl nose tackle Dontari Poe. Now, Poe's got help. There is more depth on this Chiefs defensive line than they've had in years, but they'll need it to try to win a game at Lambeau Field. Let's go under the helmet with the Chiefs number 92, Dontari Poe.
Wilson to throw. Here comes a rush. Poe eats him up. Dontari Poe went crushing over there.
That's Dontari Poe, 340-pound nose tackle. You don't see many big people with that type of lateral range.
Dinosaurs are no longer extinct. They wear a Chiefs helmet in Dontari Poe.
Dontari, finally back on the field the last couple of games. I know you missed some time. How good is it for you to be back on the field?
Real good. You never know what you're losing until you lose it. So, for me to be back out there is real fun because not being there was pretty much boring. It was kind of useless for me, so it feels real good.
First game against Houston was 32 snaps for the defense. This past week against Denver, it was just 49 snaps. Do you feel 100% now that you've been out of the field and you've been able to recuperate like the day after games?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. I feel like I'm auto good. I wouldn't go back there if I wouldn't. If I couldn't help the team, I wouldn't be there. But as far as just physically holding up, I feel like I'm real good. They tried to limit me last game, but it was such a close game. I couldn't do it. I had to be out there.
One of the things that Coach Reed talked about after the game against Denver, it was a tough loss for everyone. He was talking about leaning on the leadership of the guys. I know the defensive line, you've got leaders all over the place.
Yeah.
Just how can you help some of the younger guys that may still, you know, may sting a little bit, get past that and get ready for Green Bay?
Oh, you just let them know you learn from it, man. Learn from the mistakes and just push past it. That was a tough one. It was one of the more tough ones that I've been a part of. But at the same time, like you said, it's 1 week out of 16. So we got the game coming up, and we got to get over real fast. Learn from it. Do the best you can to just get past it.
I know that the run defense was something that was talked a lot about throughout the offseason. Last year at home against Denver, ran for over 200 yards. C.J. Anderson had 168. This past game averaged 2.8 yards per carry. How much of a focus was it for you guys to go out and stop the run? How do you feel like you've improved upon that area this year? I know you've got Derrick Johnson back.
Yeah, we improved a lot. Once you get Mike DeVito and Derrick Johnson back, it helps it a whole lot. But at the same time, it's something that you kind of put your mind on. Once you put your mind to it, you kind of focus on it. And you get the job done. So I feel like we did pretty good making strides today.
One of the guys in particular, small sample size, but through the last couple of games this year, really seems to have made a stride, Jay Howard. What have you seen from him for this year in particular and the way that he's playing?
Made strides. I feel like for the most part, he just put his mind to it. He kind of put in himself that he wanted to play, go out there and dominate, and he's doing it. But I told him the whole time that, I mean, he's been a beast, so it's nothing new. But like I said, he put his mind to it. he figured out he wanted to go out there and do it, so he's getting it done.
Another guy, first round pick, Marcus Peters, kind of set the place on fire against Denver in that pick six. What have you seen from him as far as how he carries himself? And then you can see the passion that he plays with, how excited he was, but just how impressed have you been with him?
Making plays, man. That's what they brought him here to do, and he's doing it. But he never falls short. In practice, he does it, so it just carries over to the game. So, I mean, every pick he gets in practice is not a fluke because he's doing the same thing on Sunday. So, I mean, like I said, he works hard. He goes about his business every day. And he's doing a good job.
Looking ahead, this game against the Green Bay Packers, considered one of the best teams in the NFL, one of the best teams in the NFC, a lot of people picking them to at least go to the Super Bowl. How much do you look forward to that challenge of going up against a team to review out, play well, and win the game and say, look, we're right where we need to be?
Loving it. You love to go against the best to see where you measure, where you kind of stack up against them. And like you said, they want the team's pick to go to the Super Bowl. So if we go in and do what we need to do, we'll know where we need to be or how far we need to go.
Not only is the defensive line key in this game, Kansas City's defense is going to have a superb 60-minute performance from the linebackers and the defensive backs as well to try to beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. But defensive coordinator Bob Sutton has never shied away from a challenge. He loves his defense. 8 sacks in the first 2 weeks. That's tied for second in the National Football League. So what does the Chiefs defense have planned to try to slow down one of the NFL's best offenses? Let's go to the coach's corner with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. With single coverage, Manning under pressure. He's sacked! Justin Houston got him! Houston came blowing
the bomb
in.
From one Hall of Fame quarterback to the next. Nice challenge here. How do you face it this week?
Yeah, this guy, Aaron Rodgers, is he's probably, I think, at the top of the pile right now. He's put together 3 or 4 years here that are just remarkable. I think he finished last year about 112 quarterback rating. He's off to 128 this year, and he can do all things. You know, he's got a great arm. He's got a lightning quick release. I mean, I think that's one of the most impressive things about him. And of course, his mobility is a major factor in this whole thing, either extending a play or if he has to run. I mean, he can run. I think last year was close to 8 yards a carry, you know, and so he's just playing great football right now. So it's going to be a tremendous challenge.
Ain't nothing more important than the line, bro. What would nobody say? Yep. Nothing more important than these trickles, bro.
Yep.
I get it, bro. Come on, big guys on three. 1, 2, 3.
How encouraged are you, particularly with the defensive front? You got 8 sacks in 2 weeks, but the pressure, you're getting pressure with 4. And how improved are you on the defensive line to play this quarterback?
Well, I think number one, you know, I think we're playing the run better, which is really big, you know, because you don't want to get in that deal where you have to add people to the box to stop the run against this kind of quarterback. The second thing, you know, we're rushing the passer good with the 4-man front. And then I think, you know, as long as we mix in the pressures, the other pressures, we can kind of keep you off balance there and go. But, you know, I think we've got off to a good start. Probably the thing we wish we could have done a little better job of the other night was take advantage of the takeaways that we had opportunities with. And this guy, as you know, hasn't thrown one in Lambeau since 2012. So we gotta go to work on him and see if we can get one.
One guy who's doing that though is Marcus Peters. He's had 2 in 2 weeks, and I think he stunned Peyton Manning with that pick six that he had. What about him, and how much does he ignite your back end?
Well, I think Marcus, you know, for a rookie, has played really well. He's accepted the challenges of the position. I think he's added a lot to our defense, and you know, his challenge is keep going every week. Even within the game, you just cannot relax. Now this quarterback, there's nobody that's ever covered because he can get it in there, you know, that release. And there's no play that's ever over till that official blows the whistle. So that's going to be his challenge because this will be a new experience for him, you know, dealing with this kind of player.
People always talk about week 1 to week 2 adjustments. I want to ask you about week 2 to week 3 adjustments. When you saw the Denver game and you're going, all right, for the third week, regardless of the opponent, we have to do what?
Ben? Well, the number one we talked to our players about was taking advantage of opportunities, 1. And 2, you got to close the deal. In the NFL, there's going to be lots of close games. And when you get in that position, no matter what's happened throughout the course of the game, you have to be able to close the deal. If you win enough of those close games, you're going to be where you want in the end. But if we can do those things, you know, we're going to be a good defensive football team before this thing's all over. And we got the right guys and I think the right attitude, and we're looking forward to Monday night.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, live fearless. And by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
It'll be interesting to see how Jamaal Charles responds from the game he had last Thursday against the Broncos. You know he's going to be motivated, and there's nothing more powerful than a playmaker like Jamaal Charles coming into this game with a chip on his shoulder.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. For this portion, we're going to bring BJ Kissel back on for Focus Point. I'm, of course, Pete Sweeney. So, BJ, into this week three game we go. In week one, the Chiefs face off against the runner-up for MVP and J.J. Watt. This year, they face the actual MVP and quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, you have to start with Aaron Rodgers, arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. And he's particularly good on the big stage. He's 4-1 in his career on Monday Night Football, and he's even better at home at Lambeau Field. In the last 18 regular season games at home, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions. Just an amazing number. This is the last game the Chiefs are going to be without projected starting cornerback Sean Smith, as he's dealing with that three-game suspension. So you look at Marcus Peters, Phillip Gaines and company back there are going to be tested by Aaron Rodgers. And one thing that we know about Rodgers and all elite quarterbacks is they're going to attack whatever they feel like they have the best advantage with. So the depth of the secondary for the Chiefs has to be ready to play in this game on Monday night.
Packers are such an efficient team, and that extends to the defense. A major player on the defensive side of the ball is Clay Matthews. And though he has 61 career sacks, he has none this year, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how somebody like Clay Matthews can go from being an outside linebacker, and now they've got him on the inside. Now, he'll move around a little bit. Last game was primarily at inside linebacker. They've had some injuries there, but when you take a playmaker and you move him around, wherever he's at, you have to account for him because he can run around. He's very quick to the ball. He's got a lot of closing speed, so he can still make a lot of plays, even though he's not coming off the edge getting after the quarterback. But there's a lot of guys in that front seven, the defense you have to worry about. B.J. Raji is another one. Julius Peppers leads him in sacks with 2.5. So you've got to account for those guys up front. But the whole defense kind of rallies around Clay Matthews, and the Chiefs are always going to have to know where he's at on the field.
I know one thing the Chiefs will be focusing on this week is turnovers. Last week, despite the 5 turnovers, Denver did need those 2 touchdowns at the end to win the game. So they're playing well despite the turnovers, but they'll want to fix that this week.
Yeah, it starts with quarterback Alex Smith. He's 46-15-1 in his career when he doesn't throw an interception. Now, that's not all on Alex. We know they had the 5 turnovers last week. Lots been made about that. But, you know, one of them, he got hit. So a lot of it has to do with protection up front, routes on the outside, a lot of things that we don't know what's happening out on the field. But we've got to take care of the ball as a group and not give Aaron Rodgers and that offense a short field. They don't need any more help. But if they can take care of the ball, get the running game going with Jamaal Charles, because I know he's going to be motivated to do well in this game.
Right, Jamaal Charles again with the 2 fumbles last week, but he's one of the best players in the game, so you really look at him to kind of step up in this one.
Yeah, and the Packers have struggled so far this season against the run. Granted, the sample size is pretty small, but in 2 games, they ranked 30th in the NFL, giving up 154 yards per game on the ground. In week 1, it was Matt Forte, the Chicago Bears, and last week it was Marshawn Lynch. Didn't have a Marshawn Lynch-type game, but Russell Wilson got outside the pocket, ran a little bit. We know Alex Smith can do that. So it'll be interesting to see how Jamaal Charles responds from the game he had last Thursday against the Broncos. You know he's going to be motivated, and there's nothing more powerful than a playmaker like Jamaal Charles coming into this game with a chip on his shoulder.
Right. And lastly, a stat for the road. In 7 of 9 games that Reed has played against the Packers has come down to 7 points or less. In 4 of the 9 games has come down to 3 or less. So we should see a close game.
Yep. It's going to be a good one. I can't wait.
Monday Night Football. Thanks, BJ, for coming in. I'm Pete Sweeney, and now you know what to focus on.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
Certainly Derek Johnson was in our top 10 picks.
The draft started and Derek's name stayed up there.
Chiefs fans watching the draft that day thought, hey, wow, this is a guy we didn't think we could touch.
Here's the Chiefs pick.
Well, Welcome back to the show as we preview a rematch of Super Bowl I as the Chiefs take on the Green Bay Packers. To play a great offense like Green Bay, your linebackers have to play both the run and the pass. It is something that Derek Johnson has done since day one when he entered the National Football League. Well, speaking of day one, let's go all the way back to the beginning of a terrific career as we check in with Derek Johnson from the very beginning.
I've always divided the draft and the first round particularly into three phases. The first 10 picks, the next 10 picks, and then now the last 12. On your board, you have identified guys that you would love to have. They usually are in your first board 10 picks, if you will, as you've graded and rated them with your coaches and your scouts. You've done all your homework. Everything is set. You've played the what ifs. So if you get a chance to trade up or down, you know what that's worth and what you want to do or don't do. But certainly Derek Johnson from the University of Texas linebacker was in our top 10 picks.
He was a guy that was talked about maybe going first, being the first defensive player, not going number one overall, but being a top five and maybe even top two or three pick as the college football season was winding down. You know, Texas was playing at a very high level, and he was the stud of the Texas defense. And so he was a guy that really, I think, Chiefs fans thought they wouldn't have a shot at.
He called me, he said, "Mom," he said, "I want to be at home. I want to do draft at home." And so all the camera people came and set up in the den.
Draft day, it was awesome. I had all my family, friends. People started hearing about me having a draft party at my house that I grew up in. People just started walking in. I didn't even know who was in the house. It was just a lot. It was packed in there, man. I was sitting there sweating.
We sat right here waiting.
During 2005, that's the time where the draft was a little longer. And it was that first round was long, and I was sitting there sweating.
I kept looking at Derek's name, and I knew there was no possibility.
My recollection is we felt we could get a very good player at the 15th pick, but probably wouldn't be in that first 10 that we had rated as the top guys.
The draft started, and Derek's name stayed up there.
As the draft fell and got closer and closer, obviously, we got more and more excited.
And so when he started sliding, there was a lot of momentum. I think Chiefs watching the draft that day, Chiefs fans watching the draft that day, wanted to get Derek Johnson and thought, hey, wow, this is a guy we didn't think we could touch.
Lo and behold, the 15th pick came. I don't think there was any indecision on our part about Derek Johnson.
Here's the Chiefs pick. With the 15th selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Derek Johnson, linebacker from Texas.
When I got the call, answered the phone, because I know everybody that was in the house, they looking like, oh, you know, what's going on? Is he getting a call?
Derek and I went back in my bedroom to take the call.
Carl Peterson got on there and said, hey, you know, do you want to be a Chief? And I said, yes, sir.
How do you feel like being a Kansas City Chief? He said, oh, man, I would love it. And so when they heard Derek say that in there, oh, boy, the family just went crazy.
Couldn't hear him real well. There were a lot of people, family around that were celebrating that.
And they told me I have to work my butt off to make this defense better.
We were thrilled that he was there in a 15th pick and thought we had, a great football player. A Pro Bowl type player, a player that could at the end of his career be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
Well, this week the Chiefs will try to work against the numbers and upset the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. The challenges don't stop there. It'll be another short week. And Kansas City's going to go back on the road to take on a perennial AFC playoff contender in the Cincinnati Bengals. How do the Chiefs handle the short week? How do they try to win another road game? You'll find out as we get you ready right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Overland Park Auto Group, home of the Red Friday Rally. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Live Fearless. And by Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Trap.